Well, good morning, church. Wow, another great day for the Ducks. It's super wet here again, isn't it? My goodness, wasn't yesterday a gift? Who would have thought in Australia we're celebrating a day of sun? My goodness. If you're joining us online, good morning to you. If you're joining us around the world, we're having a very wet time here in Newcastle and Lake Macquarie, and we're ready for some sun. Amen. So... I get to meet with Luke and Kylie Cubis this Friday, actually. I'm going to head over to the UK and meet them in person. So that's going to be exciting. It's part of a trip I'm doing for my 50th birthday. I get to go and watch my favourite soccer team, Premier League team, play a game over in Liverpool. And so I'm heading over there on Tuesday to do that. So we're catching up with Luke and Kylie on Friday. So I'll send all our love to them for you in person and get to see what they're doing in England now, which will be outstanding. Awesome. Are you ready to jump in this morning? Yeah. It's going to be a great time in the presence of the Lord. I wanted to launch this new series this morning, which is, I've called it Pneuma, which is the Greek word for Holy Spirit. And it's a word that describes what it is to live in the fullness of a Spirit-empowered life. And I think one of the increases that we are focusing on this morning is, you know, and this year particularly, is about disciple. Be one, make one. And this year we're focusing our strength, aren't we, on the area of inheritance, of reminding ourselves again of the fullness of what God has paid for us at the cross, which we celebrated in communion just a few moments ago, to be able to actually stand in that position of fullness, that position of our inheritance. And, you know, and one of those ways that we do that is we remember the promises of God and we reflect on what God has said in order to bring it into today. But that's not what the message about is, that's not the message for today. Nor is it about the message of, you know, growing in our position and our identity in Christ, as strong and as valid as that is, that we are seated in heavenly places. But that's not the message for today. The message for today is about the impact and the power of what it is to actually commune with the Holy Spirit, the one who was given to us to actually awaken the presence of God in our lives. And so over the next seasons of weeks, we want to invest our time and our efforts into pouring ourselves into the Word of God to be able to have a greater understanding of this. So I want you to begin by thinking of this picture. Can you imagine the day? It was the beginning of the third day after Jesus was put in the tomb. And the disciples were gathering together, mainly out of fear that they would be arrested. And they were meeting together in an area when all of a sudden the Lord turns up in his presence. He didn't knock, he just walked through the door. And he said, "Peace be with you and receive the Holy Spirit." They met in grief, and yet the Spirit of God came and ministered to them. And that's good news for someone here this morning, that you might be here feeling poorly, you might be here feeling low, you might be here feeling like anything but the victorious one. But even in that state, Jesus can come and transform your life. Receive the Holy Spirit. 40 days later, we know that the disciples were out again gathering together, this time with an expectancy of the promise of what Jesus was asking. In fact, Jesus said, "I want you to wait for the promised Holy Spirit to come, to not just fill you this time, but to now baptize you with power." And as they were in that upper room, it was like tongues of fire appeared in that room. This blowing wind, the sound of a blowing wind, and these breath-borne words started flowing from deep within them, and they started speaking in a heavenly language for the very first time. There was an encounter that took place as a result of the Holy Spirit being breathed into people as well as being breathed upon them. And it's interesting that Pentecost experience is what I want to focus a little bit on this morning as we look at the different elements of how the Holy Spirit manifested in that experience. That tongues of fire came. There was the sound of a blowing wind, and breath-borne sounds and words were released from individuals
and everything changed as a result. In fact, the position would be this, that if the disciples were born again in John 20 when Jesus breathed on them, that in Acts 2, he baptized them in the power of the Holy Spirit, and it was there that the church was born for the very outset. And we actually get to live in this day and age because of that moment. That is not a moment we look back on and just reflect as that was history. We get to live in that in the everyday. That we get to live fully aware that God has breathed into us and baptized us with power. And this is the one whom I want to talk about this morning. The Holy Spirit has been there from the very beginning of time in these different elements. In Genesis, he hovered over the chaos as breath, just waiting for the word of the Lord to come where he would then fashion creation into being. He was there in the very elements of the formation of humanity where he breathed into Adam, into the nostrils of the very first man, and he breathed into this lifeless form of flesh. And it was at that moment that life appeared. We read in Ezekiel 37 where, you know, he breathed life into dry bones and they came alive again. The work of the Holy Spirit has been there from the very beginning of time. And yet, here's the interesting part in the Old Testament was that he never lived within. He always lived around. They had to build a temple for him to house the presence of God. But something changed when Jesus arrived. As Gary mentioned, the veil was torn, righteousness was prevailed over humanity because of the resurrection. And because of that, the Spirit of God became new to humanity's existence by now not dwelling without, but dwelling within. And we get to live in that day, in that very position, that we get to live in the fullness of the presence of God. And it's interesting that the prophets foresaw this coming. They prophesied these things. It's up on the screen. Joel 2:28, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Ezekiel 36, I will put my spirit within you. The law, Jeremiah 31, the law will be written on hearts, not stone. Did you notice when Jesus came, he didn't bring out the big tablets of Moses? No. He brought out the 12 disciples and said, I'm going to breathe into you and you now become the tablets that I pour my glory upon. So as followers of Jesus, you are now a dwelling place of a dwelling God. Just say that together. I am a dwelling place of a dwelling God. You're invited to live a spirit-empowered lifestyle. You are invited to have intimate communion with God through the Holy Spirit. You are invited to be marked with the indwelling presence of the Spirit that leads us unto all righteousness. You are invited to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. You are invited to be empowered as a vessel through which the kingdom of God advances through you. When the move of the Holy Spirit touches this planet, it's not going to just happen as this just a sovereign move as much as God will breathe on it. It's going to come through the people of God, his church. He's going to come and move through his people like you and I. And I want to stir your church to become hungry, to be part of a move of God in our generation. I don't want to be ones that read about history 100 years ago or be ones in heaven and looking back in 100, 200 years. I want to be part of the generation that says, I was there when the breath of the Holy Spirit breathed over a city called Lake Macquarie, where he moved over Newcastle, where he moved over the Hunter. And I was there, saw what God did in drawing a city unto him. I want to be part of that. Do you want to be part of that? Because my invitation to you this morning is let that start to burn in you this morning. Breath, wind, fire. We've sung about it already. But they are the very nature experiences. They are the very core essences of who Holy Spirit is. He is fire. He is breath. He is wind. And my prayer for you as it's been this week is that the breath of life would indeed come on you and touch every area of dry thing in your life. That the wind of the Holy Spirit would move upon you and release you into the fullness of mission. that the fire of the Holy Spirit would purify you and empower you to be all that God has created you to be. And I love as N.T. Wright puts it, he says this, it's up on the screen, the Spirit is the down payment of God's future arriving in the present. That the Spirit of God was the down payment, like a deposit. When you put a deposit down, you're securing something for yourself. When you pay a deposit, it's put in your name. And the Spirit of God was given to us as a down payment, as a deposit. Ephesians 1, 13 writes this, when you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance. This is why this is such a big deal. And you know, the inheritance of God is not just some ethereal thing that we one day will step into. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to pull the fullness of that inheritance into today. You don't have to wait for your healing when one day you go to eternity. You can pull that fullness of that healing into your today. You can bring the fullness of that reconciliation into today. You can bring the fullness of that restoration into today. How? Through the Holy Spirit. Because He is the deposit that brings about the fullness of that guarantee being given to us here in today. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
So that means that the fire of God, which will one day consume all evil, won't that be a glorious day? Guess what? That's the same fire that's burning in you to purify and empower your life right now. You know the wind that's going to come one day and make all things new? This glorious transition from brokenness to wholeness. It's going to be a glorious day, isn't it? But guess what? It's the same Spirit of God that's dwelling inside of you that's going to move you into the things that God has called you to. You know, the breath that's going to come and bring resurrection life to everything that's broken and dead and lifeless in our world right now. It's the same Spirit that's living within you right now, that's residing within you, that's dwelling amongst us in this room even right now. It's that same Spirit that is able to bring resurrection life to us even in the now. So Gateway, I don't want you to be people that just say, well, we've just got to hold on to the future. If we can just hold on. No, I want you to walk in the fire and the wind and the breath of the Holy Spirit in today. That there would be a pulling of that which is in the fullness of time to bring it into today and say, I'm living in the future right now. I've got six of you so far. I'm still getting there. Come on. I don't want you to live just knowing you're forgiven. I want you to live knowing you're transformed. I don't want you to live just waiting for God. I want you to live with this witness saying God is able to move today. I don't want you just to survive. I want you to advance the kingdom of God here and now. And the Spirit of God has not been given us just to give us an escape clause in our journey here. No. The Spirit was given so that we could invade this earth with the glory of the kingdom of God right now. Hallelujah. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit where He dwells. Where the Old Testament had a building to house the presence of God, you are now that building. You are now that place where the fullness of His presence exists. So when you look at yourself in the mirror, are you seeing yourself like that? Are you seeing yourself through the deficit of what you perhaps perceive? Because yes, there is always going to be fallenness and brokenness in some level in our world right now. But the truth is, your eyes need to be turned towards the glory of what God is doing in this hour. And as we see ourselves as that place, we'll start believing it and potentially we'll start behaving like it. When the church, not this one, the one down the road, when the church generally recognizes the one who lives in them, how is it not possible for us to bring solutions to a broken city? How is it not possible to see the rates of suicide decrease in our city? To see the levels of domestic violence? I was at the hospital on Friday night, and again, a man came in handcuffs. He was bound by two police officers, and they said to me, we've been after this guy for a long time. They said, we're doing this huge blitz of domestic violence at the moment in New South Wales. And they finally got their guy. I don't want to see hospitals filled with people that are being perpetrators of violence across our city. I want to see hospitals filled with people that are coming up with solutions for health and wholeness and healing across our city. I don't want us to be just looking at the news, looking at destruction. I want to live in a season where the news is filled with the glory of the Lord. And I want to be a part of a people that's part of a move of the Spirit of God where this takes place. And I'm wondering, church, if we could be that type of people. I'm wondering if you are being called by being at this house to be a man or a woman that's called to be living in the fullness of the Spirit of God, where the fire of God dwells and lives and moves through you. Would you be a person where you open the sail of your life so the wind of the Spirit blows? Would you be a person that could be one where the vessel of your life is one where the breath of the Holy Spirit comes upon you? And this is the nature of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, the one who is not distant, but who is the personal force of God dwelling in us. He is close. He is near. He is in you. If you have said yes to Jesus, He dwells in you. If you have invited the power of the Holy Spirit to dwell on you, He is empowering your life and doing life with you through it all. He is personal, which means this, that He can be quenched and grieved when we're not in alignment with the values of the kingdom of God. This is not some mysterious force out there that is distant to us. No, no, no. When righteousness isn't prevailing, the Spirit of God is grieved. And I pray that brings a reverent awe upon the house of the Lord. That we would not just flippantly do things because, we're under grace. No, no, no. Grace is empowering you to live in righteousness. And that a reverent awe would fall in the house of the Lord again. To put aside those things that are not of God. And to say yes to Him so that we prepare ourselves as a vessel where the breath of the Lord can reign and rule through us. Where the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control are overflowing through our life. I reckon these fruit measures are incredibly useful to analyze how we're doing in life. When a response that's not as loving or as kind or as gentle comes from our lips, usually what it's there for is not to condemn us, but really re-invite us to step back into alignment with the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit is given freedom to reign through us, the language of the Holy Spirit is love and grace and mercy and compassion and long-suffering. I think I missed that one, but there's another one. Of gentleness, of self-control, that the measure of the Holy Spirit is those fruit. And I want to invite us this morning not to analyze your life and just bash yourself up, but to analyze your life and invite yourself to step up, to step into tomorrow at work, the fruit of that Spirit, that workmate or that colleague or that process that is so obstructive right now, that you would just bless it with the fruit of the Holy Spirit and watch what happens. It's impossible to release the fruit of the Holy Spirit and not see fruit. It's impossible. It's impossible for good things not to come when you work in that operation. So I want to focus for the time that's left in this message this morning to just focus on fire, wind, and breath. The fire that refines, the wind that guides and directs us, and the breath that gives life. Can we pray? Holy Spirit, You are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, transform us this morning. Holy Spirit, let the enlivening of Your Spirit come into every dry and barren area of our heart. And Lord God, I'm asking for a move of Your Spirit this morning. Lord, I'm asking that, Lord, we wouldn't just do church, but we'd encounter You. And so fire, come. Wind, blow. Breath, enliven us again. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Let's open some scriptures. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 says this: He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and
fire.
He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and
fire.
John the Baptist speaking about the ministry of Jesus, the one who was to come, the Messiah, the one who's going to bring righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. He said, He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. Acts chapter 2. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Wherever the Holy Spirit is, there the expression of fire is. Hebrews 12, 29, for our God is a consuming fire. We sang about it this morning. You know, the Spirit of God expressed through fire is not given to us just for comfort, but rather for consecration. When we put a fire on in the cold winter months, it's very comforting. It's very, you know, encouraging to be amongst a place where you can sit. And certainly the expression of the Lord is one of comforter. That is one of the functions of the Holy Spirit. But in this context, I want to draw out another area of His nature this morning. And it's not just for our comfort, but our consecration. That where the Spirit of the Lord is, that there is a movement of his work where He's actually removing the impurities of our life in order that the purity of the righteousness of God would become louder and more clear in our journey. And that there would be a move of the Spirit of God where impurities are removed and the purity of the Lord. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Why is it the church generally, globally, is not experiencing the moves of the God? Moves of God, it's because there's too many areas of dross mixed together with the goodness of God. And there's a move of the Holy Spirit coming, church, where there's a purifying fire of the Holy Spirit coming, and the dross and the chaff and all the areas of impurity are going to be removed in order that the refined glory of the Lord is going to be manifested and elevated to new heights. Gold is refined through fire, and so too it is with believers. That the Spirit of the Lord comes on people like you and I. And He doesn't do it to harm us. He comes to purify us. He comes to set us free so that we are vessels ready to be used in even greater fire and capacity. So what's the Holy Spirit refining in your life, I wonder? What's He getting on right now? What are the areas of your life that the Holy Spirit is not letting you just let it go through to the keeper? You just can't get away with that stuff anymore. What is it that the Holy Spirit is putting His finger on in your life? Because whatever He's putting His finger on is the area He's refining. And whatever He's refining, He's getting it ready. Because when the fire of God comes on that pure space, I tell you, look out Newcastle, look out Lake Macquarie, because God is going to use you in a powerful and mighty way. Bill Johnson writes, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of revival. Where He is honored, fire falls. Where He is honored, fire falls. Phil Pringle would write, the fire of the Holy Spirit will ignite you to do what you never thought possible. You want to do things that are extraordinary in this life, let the fire of God come on you. Jack Hayford writes this, when the fire of the Spirit touches your life, it burns away what's dead and lights what is eternal. Hallelujah. Who wants that in their journey? And Stephen Furtick would write, you don't need a new flame. You know, we live in a culture that says, if it's broken, get a new one. No, you don't need a new flame of God. You need to fan the one that God's already put in you. Are you carrying coals or ashes right now? What are you carrying? Because if you are carrying ashes and you've been beaten up and broken and busted up by life, guess what? Can turn ashes into beauty. Hallelujah. But I pray that there would be coals that would be being stoked and fired, that they wouldn't be just flickering out. They wouldn't be just being suffocated, but the breath of the Holy Spirit would blow on them again, and that you would be refined by that fire. Throughout history, every great awakening that's preceded a move of God, that's been preceded by a move of God. Sorry, let me say that again. Throughout history, every great awakening has been preceded by these key things that have brought about a move of God. It's the purity of heart. It's prayer. It's a burning passion for the presence of Jesus. And it's a move towards holiness. And I just feel that the Lord is saying, it's time. It's time for the church to partner again for another great awakening, for another great move. I don't want to just read about what's happened in the past or in the future to come. I want it to happen now. And I want that to be part of our story here at Gateway. That I don't want to just be told, oh, they're a great church. They're very friendly. Oh, they love worship. They've got vibrancy down there. The power of God flows through signs, wonders, and miracles. No, I want to be part of a church that sees that as an overflow of the power of God flowing through us and transforming cities. Amen. I don't just want to just read about the Welsh Revival with Evan Roberts or the Great Awakenings with the Wesley Brothers or the Azusa Street Revival with Seymour or the Hebrides Revival where two sisters who are 82 and 84 decided to pray from 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. a couple of days a week and kept doing it and the Lord moved. Don't tell me you're too old for revival. Don't tell me you're too old to be part of this great move of what the Holy Spirit is doing. In fact, as you get older, you get more richer. You become more refined because your life simplifies to the level where you can focus in on the things that truly do matter. You don't need to be doing the things that the younger generations have to do. You get to choose what you do. So choose well. Choose holiness. Choose prayer. Choose burning passion for the things of God and watch as people can be transformed through those actions. I believe we stand on the edge of another great move. And, you know, as I stand on those shores in England this coming week, I am so encouraged to hear of this thing called the Quiet Revival. They're calling it the Quiet Revival. There's a move of the Holy Spirit happening in the UK right now where there's a move of young people rising up in the things of God and finding themselves filling worship gatherings and church services and moves of the Holy Spirit. Fourfold increase of populations of young people in the UK are finding God and gathering together once again. And I tell you, I want to stand on that shore and say, God, do it here in Australia. God, take whatever the Spirit is that you're doing here and I'll bring it back and just pray it in over this land. And I'm believing that we're going to see not just a quiet revival, but a mediocrely small, loud, raucous, amazing revival here in Australia. Hallelujah. Bill Johnson says, we don't pray because we're barren. We pray because we're pregnant with promise. It's important to note, we're not praying for God to move because we're in such lack. We're praying for God to move because we're pregnant with the promise that this is the heart of the Father, to pour out His Spirit upon His people and to release that in great measure. So the Holy Spirit is fire, He's wind. The wind is the Spirit's invisible power, freedom, and movement. John 3:8 says, the wind blows where it wishes, so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit of God. You can't control wherever the wind blows, but you can point your sail into it. And you get to determine what you do. Are you going to be stuck in the middle of the lake, just sitting there wondering where the wind's going? Are you going to turn your sail so that the wind can carry you where you're meant to be going? I love it. Again, Acts 2:2. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house. The wind of the Spirit blows where it will, Bill Johnson says. You don't manage revival, you yield to it. You yield to it. You can't control what God is doing and how He's doing it, but you can certainly surrender to it. Jack Hayford, we must catch the wind of the Spirit. It's not a storm to fear, but a force to follow. And sometimes the Spirit doesn't shout, Furtick would say. He sends a breeze and expects you to move. Whenever the wind of God blows, it usually depicts a significant shift in timing of what God's doing on the planet. When He blows, something new is about to be released. And I feel something in this hour, for this hour to be one where the shift of God flows upon us. So as a result, we must be those who walk by the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. Holy Spirit is breath. He's fire, He's wind, He's breath. The breath speaks of life and intimacy and sustaining power. says, then the Lord God in Genesis 2 formed the man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Job 33:4, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Wherever the breath of God is, there is life. And I am hungry to see that being moved in great measure over this hour and beyond. So fire, wind, breath. I'm going to invite the team just to come and prepare as we finish this morning. I could keep teaching, and I've got another probably 20 minutes to go, but you know, teaching isn't going to transform you, and it's not going to transform the city. A move of God is. And I just want you to know that there is a hunger in me and a hunger in many of us in this room to see God breathe over this place. And I pray that that would not be just something that we think about is in theory, but God, would you do it through us? Would you do it through me? I've been in places where revival is so rich that there are people just crying out to the Lord. I want to see it in our city. I want you to be a people so hungry for the Lord that every day you can't help but just breathe in the Spirit of God and exhale prayers that come from His very heart. You breathe in the Spirit and you breathe out things that will transform things around you. You say, well, Craig, I've got so much stuff going on in my own personal world. How could God use me? Well, in Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel was taken to a place where there was a field of dry bones. And they, in fact, historically were a former army of the people of Israel that were killed mercilessly because they were simply too good looking. And the enemy took them out and scattered their bones as a sign to say, do not ever think that you can rise again to take on our might. And Ezekiel was taken out to this place that looked as barren and as hopeless as possible. And God says to Ezekiel, can these bones live? Maybe that's the question the Lord's asking each of us this morning. When you look at your life and you think, Craig, it sounds too extraordinary to think that I could be part of a move of God when I've got all these dry areas in my own life. I've got these areas of despondency and this and that and everything else. And maybe the question of the Lord is for you in this day, can these bones live? Can these areas of your relational life live? Can your marriage live? Can your finances live? Can your business live? Can that situation in your health, will you live through this? Can you get through all this? And you know, Ezekiel looks at those bones and he can't see a solution. But when God looks at it, he sees it through a different lens. See, the word in the original language for bone actually derives from the root verb that actually means strong, mighty, and powerful. A bone is strong, it's powerful, it's mighty. And when Ezekiel looked out and saw this bone paddock filled with death and hopelessness, he couldn't see it. But that's not how God sees it over your life, because he knows the DNA of your story. He actually created the very essence of eternity in your hearts. He knows that even though that area of your life looks despondent and hopeless, that it actually is not an area that is immovable by the Lord. In fact, he just needs to breathe on it and it can come back to life again. So let's just read what the story goes on to say in Ezekiel 37. It says, prophesy to these bones. Verse 4, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You know, you're just one moment away from decreeing life over that situation. Imagine just knowing that sitting inside of you is one decree that has the power to bring transformation. Oh, that could never happen to me, Craig. Why don't you try it? Why don't you speak by faith? Why don't you prophesy over that and watch what the Lord might do? And this is what Ezekiel did. He prophesied as he was commanded, and as he was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone, and tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. When you prophesy the word of the Lord over a situation in your life, it's impossible for nothing to happen. I said, when you prophesy something of the word of the Lord over your life, it's impossible for nothing to happen. You might not see the fullness of the manifestation in that moment, but there's a sound that takes place in the heavenlies. There's a rattling. There's a movement of the Spirit of God. And I can tell you, church, it's impossible to prophesy the word of the Lord over your future and not see something change through it, because it is impossible for God to be called upon and for Him not to move. Making me work hard this morning. Prophesy to these bones. And then he says, now prophesy to the breath. Don't just prophesy to the area that's dry and barren in your life. Now prophesy to the one who can breathe life into it. Prophesy to the breath and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds and breathe again into these slain that they might live. And look what happens. So he prophesied, and as he was commanded, and guess what? Breath entered them. This vast army of dead bones that was situated in this huge paddock started to breathe again, and they came to life. And history would suggest that these young men actually were resurrected in that moment and actually lived a full life as a result. Your worst situation that you're facing right now is not too far gone for God to transform. When the fire and the wind and the breath of the Holy Spirit touches it, it can be resurrected once again into a vibrant and strong army once again. And he says in verse 14, I will put my spirit fire in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Now, of course, this is a prophecy of the nation of Israel in the Old Covenant, but Jesus fulfilled it in Acts chapter 2, where he breathed the Holy Spirit upon his church, and he brought the baptism of the fire of God upon his people. And we can live in the fullness of this posture where breath and wind and fire are manifested through our lives this morning. And this morning, church, I want to believe that we can be a people where the power of the Holy Spirit flows through us. So come on, let's stand, and we're going to just prepare our hearts for it. I think it's time, church, for us to prophesy to those areas of our lives that are like those dry bones. And it's time to believe that they can be awakened again, that the Spirit of God can breathe over those areas that need to be experiencing new life, and the freedom of the Holy Spirit would come on the areas. Come from the four winds, O Lord. We can't control the wind, but we can call it into our life. Say, come and blow again, Lord God. Come and blow again. So come on, church. I don't know what hunger is in you this morning. I don't know what you're burning for this morning, but could you just put something into a hunger for the things of God to blow over not only your life, but the city, over this nation. It's time for Australia to see a move of the Holy Spirit. It's a time for this city to be awakened. Dry bones, would you live again? We speak. So come on, let's sing it together.
For fresh revival.
to the Lord. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Let the expressions of fire fall on each of us. Let there be a purity of fire falling on each of us this morning. That the wind of the Holy Spirit would blow again. I just see a picture, church, of many of you. You feel stuck in a situation, and the Lord is saying, would you just tack again with the wind of the sail and watch as I just blow again. I see fresh wind coming on situations that look as good as gone. And the power of the Holy Spirit is going to blow again. But part of it is calling forth the Spirit of God to blow. But part of it is actually us turning our attention onto where the wind is blowing and turning our sail onto that. It's actually a dual thing. It's the power of God coming, but it's a responsiveness to say, Lord, wherever you blow, I'm going. And I just feel like there's no limitation on the God side. I feel like in the room this morning, the only limitation is on the people of God saying, Lord, I'm going to move my sail where the wind is blowing. And I tell you, as we turn this morning, as we turn our hearts to Him, the wind of God is going to take us further and forward than we could ever imagine. Are you willing to go with us on this journey, church? Do you want to turn your sails towards the Lord's breath and the wind? Because if you're willing to do that, I tell you, we're going to see an unprecedented measure of His outpouring. There's a freshness on this meeting this morning that the glory of the Lord is going to come. So if that's you and you want to turn your sail unto the Lord, then just come out of your chair and just stand with us at the front, that there would be a responsiveness of the house of the Lord this morning unto the wind of the Lord. So come on, lift your hands and respond unto Him to them. Come on, sing it again.
Blow again. This is the moment where we
to just release this declaration over us. Let's just put that declaration up, Simon, and we're just going to speak it out together. You ready? I am a dwelling place of God. Let's say it together from the top. I am a dwelling place of God. I carry the fire. I move with the wind. I breathe with the breath of heaven. So pneuma, fire, wind, breath lives in me. Spirit of God, we yield to you. Spirit of God, we're hungry for you. Spirit of God, blow on each of us, that the breath in our lungs would do nothing but simply praise your name. It's the breath in your lungs, Lord God. It's the breath in our lungs that comes from you, that we live and move and have our being because of nothing short of your breath in our lungs. And so, Lord, we invite you right now, reignite our hearts. Lord, I pray as a chief shepherd over this group of people that you would take us as a people and reignite our hearts again. You would be a fresh move of your Spirit blowing on our coals, and that, Lord, we would shine brightly through the week, not just here on a Sunday, but Monday to Saturday, the power of the Holy Spirit would flow through us. So come on, church, lift your hands. And let's decree it this morning.
It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out.
Be the platform where the Lord moves. It's going to be upon the people of God.
Great are you.
So temples of the Holy Spirit, get ready. There's an outpouring coming upon you. A reignition, a fire, a wind, a breath. Oh, it's your breath.
It's your breath in our lungs.
Sing this as a declaration.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
Sing it over that area that needs a touch of the Lord this morning.
All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing.
Under 25 here in this room, I want you to quickly come out to the front. You're going to come our prayer team right now. So if you're under 25, just quickly come. Just quickly come. Every move of God generally begins with the young people. It starts with the young people and it flows through whole of community. And we're just going to honor our young people in the room this morning, that what they're carrying is going to be a move of the Holy Spirit. And they're going to just release fire over you. So team, this is what I want you to do. You may not have done this a whole lot, but all I want you to do is just go through the crowd and just say, fire of the Holy Spirit, come. All right?